We're taking you behind the scenes with entrepreneurs that run product-based businesses. There is so much information out there tailored towards service providers, so we have carved out a space just for you. The creative entrepreneurs making and selling physical goods. We're firm believers that everyone has a story to share, and there is so much we can learn from each other's business journey. Whether you are just starting out or a seasoned business owner, this podcast will shed light on new strategies, inspiration, and action steps to help you grow your product-based business. Hey friends, welcome back to Proof to Product. I'm Katie Hunt, your host. Today on the show, I have PaperCamp alumni Stephanie Harvey. Stephanie runs Exit 343 Designs from the Philadelphia suburbs. She fell in love with screen printing in college and began selling her work in 2007 on Etsy and at retail craft shows. Fast forward 10 years later, and she has turned her side hustle into a full-time gig and is working hard to share her fun and functional wares with customers around the country. On today's episode, we're talking about marketing strategies that Stephanie is using to nurture both her retail and wholesale clients, and why she's building an operations manual to document the systems and processes within her business. Hey, Stephanie, welcome to the show.
Hey, Katie, how's it going?
It's going well. So tell us about Exit 343 Design. What types of products do you sell, and how long have you been in business?
So I am actually a screen printer, and I started out making screen printed art prints. I now make greeting cards and lots of different small gift items, baby onesies, can koozies, those kinds of things. I have been doing this as a business since 2007, but full-time for the last 4 years.
Yeah. I want to talk about that. So you had a very long stretch where your business was, for lack of a better word, kind of your side hustle, right?
Yes, definitely a side hustle.
And did you find that difficult to manage both, or did you look at it, like, in retrospect, are you happy that you took a long time to kind of lean into doing this full time, or tell me your thoughts on that?
Sure. Slow organic growth has been my mantra. It's hard not to compare yourself to other people out there, especially with the internet and Instagram. And there's definite moments where it's like, oh, I wish this would happen faster. But
right.
In hindsight, Honestly, I don't really have any regrets. I've just been really careful, bootstrapped my way here, and took the plunge into full time when it was ready. And it was kind of a tipping point where either I had went full time into my day job, or I had to sacrifice in my business. There just was not enough hours in the day to make it work. Fortunately, with the support of family and friends, it was time to just go out on my own. So. Yeah.
I love that. I overlapped as well, not as long, but I look back and I'm so grateful that I did have the day job to kind of pay my family's bills and to support me to do all the adulting things I needed to do. But it allowed me to take money that I earned within the business and reinvest it back into the business. I talk about in the past how I wouldn't have been able to build the website I wanted or invest in new products that I wanted to create if I, hadn't had our personal expenses covered too.
Yeah. Money and risk on like different products and stuff. I've been doing, as we record this, it's March and it's March Meet the Maker on Instagram. So I try to participate, and I've been looking back at old pictures of events and products that I had. And it's like, oh my goodness, what was I thinking? Which I think we've all had those moments.
Oh yes.
It wasn't like going to make or break me, and it still kept it fun. Things do shift when you go full time. There's still a lot of joy in what I do, but the pressure is on when you make it full time. So I think people don't talk about it enough, especially on like social media, about transparency, about if it's your side hustle, and there is no shame in that. Like, do what you have to do to pay the bills and keep the joy in what you're doing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. So let's talk about your sales channels. What sales channels do you utilize within your business? You're doing retail and wholesale, correct? Are those the two main ones?
So those are the primary things. I started on Etsy and way back in 2007. I've had some iteration of a website for a long time, but I moved it to Shopify 2 to 3 years ago. I had Squarespace before that. And I do retail and wholesale through my website. And I also sell at retail shows, events, and I have yet to actually have done a wholesale show.
So. Yeah. So which one of those is more profitable for you, the retail side or the wholesale side?
man, I just did my defense.
Well, you don't need to give me specific numbers. I'm just curious. No, I, that I think
the retail was, it edged out wholesale in 2019, but that's all the channels combined. In terms of my website and Etsy, they're probably about head and head, to be honest.
What have you done to build the retail arm of your business? You mentioned doing the in-person shows. You were on Etsy. You also have your own shop. Like, how are you reaching the direct-to-consumer audience? What marketing tactics, I guess?
So marketing is definitely something I'm always trying to figure out, how I can grow. Again, slow organic growth. I haven't done any like crazy ad campaigns. It's just a whole world I don't understand. Honestly, I guess it's probably, I've been doing live events for so long that people find me in that way. I try to make sure I have signage out about how they can find me online. Definitely worked hard to be consistent with my email list, which for years I just would have put a clipboard out on my table and then never do anything with those emails, which is insane to even say right now. Like, I feel like every business podcast is talking about email lists. Harness your email list. You own that. But I really, really made a concerted effort in the last 2 years to be more consistent with that and work to grow that, using like Insta stories, asking people once every 2 months, like, hey, if you want to support me, send me your email. Been working on a Pinterest strategy. Been really upping my blogging game in the last year or two. So
that's awesome.
I will say, like, since I've gone full time in 2016, it has allowed me to spend a lot more time on marketing. So it was really slow growth. And it was mostly just live events. Now that I do, it's my full-time thing. I can really like dedicate hours to making this happen and getting the word out.
Let's talk about the blogging stuff, because I know that there's a lot of product-based business owners that kind of think, oh, blogging's not for me. What am I going to talk about? You know, that's more for service-based business owners. What types of things are you blogging about, and how are you utilizing that for sales in your business?
So I am not sure what my ROI is. I actually just really like to write, and this is just a great, and I went back when Etsy did treasuries, like I love making treasuries. I love making gift guides, that kind of stuff. So this is like a great outlet for me, but also sometimes, you know, when you show up in other ways on social, what do you say there? Well, it's great to already have that content living on your website. You can share that. So I sat down and just did a brain dump of what are things as a maker I would want to read? How are ways like gift guides I could help my customers? It's kind of a mishmash of stuff. Maybe that's not the best marketing. Maybe a marketing guru would say no to that, but I don't know. It makes me happy. And I like getting that information out into the world and having conversations, because people that are also other makers, like I buy other makers stuff all the time. So maybe they're not my most ideal customer, but they are potential customers and come on over to my website. So yeah, gift guides. I have a bunch of posts for makers, updates, that kind of stuff.
I think this sounds like a brilliant strategy, because you're talking about things that you're interested in and that other makers might be interested in. And it's about building community and sharing your processes behind things, it sounds like. And too, it's a lot of this, as you mentioned, it's a lot of the same stuff we're all pushing on social media too, right? So the idea of repurposing content in different ways, I like that a lot too.
Yeah. And you've talked about too, where sending emails, don't just send sales emails, send emails to say, hey, and just touch base. Like having a blog post to reference to send back to your site is just a great way to have a touch point with customers as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So let's go back a little bit. You'd mentioned that you're trying to leverage emails more. Is that more on the retail side or the wholesale side?
Both.
Both. Yeah. Okay.
Working on both.
How often are you sending out emails to both sides?
I am shooting for once a month.
That's good.
That is, I know, not as much as other people.
No, that's great. That's
me right now. So that's what I'm aiming for. I'm not always hitting it, but shooting for it.
No, I think that's great. I think when I talk to people about sending emails, at least on the wholesale side, I always tell them to aim for at least once a month. Just once a month for wholesale. Retail, you could go a little bit more than that. But, you know, if you don't have anything to say, then we don't want to spam people's inboxes either, right?
So yeah, absolutely.
Okay. I know that you have been doing a lot of like work behind the scenes with your business and kind of creating different workflows and things. Do you want to share how you've been doing that and what that looks like?
So I've been working to kind of get out of the studio and meet new people. And I've been joining some professional groups, and I'm not gonna lie, most of them are for service-based or like wedding people, but it's interesting to meet new people and hear their struggles. There are a lot of the same ones. But recently we had a presentation talking about workflow, and yeah, I don't know, something about it resonated with me where as a business owner, you should know your numbers, but you should also just know your processes and look back at them. And I'm also approaching a point where I would really like to hire someone in the next year or two. And it's just been me since 2007. I have a lot of just random things in my head, like just from printing to packaging and websites to use. So I have been working on a workflow that's basically like a manual to my business. I looked up product workflows and I couldn't really, product-based workflows, and I couldn't really find anything. There's a lot for the service industry. Yeah, so I'm just breaking it down and getting to the nitty-gritty, and it's been really enlightening to like see truly how much work you're doing, because you know, as your business grows, you're always looking to the next thing, and like looking back, you just kind of forget to look back and like,
oh yeah,
man, there are a lot of things that I'm doing in this business. There are a lot of hats we're wearing. And also it's a great way to see like, maybe I don't need to be wearing that hat, and how can I make this more efficient? And that to me was the whole idea of workflow. I know it's like an official jargon, but to me, that's what I got from that. So
I love that.
Yes.
I love that you're taking the time to do that. I think a couple of observations I've had, I agree with you 100%. It's incredible to look at like how many different pieces of our business we're handling and how much information we're keeping in our head about the like little itty bitty detailed steps that it takes to, you know, get a certain product created and out to market. And so I love what you're talking about. A few tips that I've utilized in the past with regards to putting together like an employee manual or operations guide, like you're talking about. I've used Google Documents for something like this in the past, because then I can share that link with any team members, remote or local, that want to check stuff out. The other thing I've started doing with my team, I started doing this a couple of years ago, but it's been super efficient. We use Loom.us to do screen sharing. And so if there's any websites that we're working in or trying to show the step-by-step process in, you know, Adobe Illustrator or whatever, we can take a screen. It's a video of our screen, and we can show people walking, you know, walking through the different steps. So, and then we go back to their Google document and we put the link to the Loom video in there so people can go take a look at it. And it's been hugely helpful.
Yeah. So to piggyback on that, through that presentation, I was introduced to this website called ClickUp.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at like Asana, and actually I asked in the proof to product group, like who else, what other programs are people using?
Yeah.
And I just didn't like the visualization of Asana. ClickUp is basically a huge to-do list, and you click into it, it makes another list, and you click into it, it makes another list. And you can add Loom videos, you can add files, you can add links, and it's just like all living in one place. It's great. If you are list minded and somewhat visual, but like list minded, I write a million lists. I cannot recommend ClickUp enough. It is awesome.
That's awesome. And too, as you start to bring in those team members, as you talked about, then you can do task assignments and things like that.
Yeah, you can do that in this as well. Yeah, you set due dates, you can connect different. But now it sounds like an ad for ClickUp. I'm still learning. all the functionality, but it seemed a great way to lay the foundation for when I can bring on team members and assign them roles and set dates and stuff. So
that's really awesome. I think it's so important to find, like, I love using technology in my business to make things more efficient. I also have a small team that works remotely, so I also need to make sure that whatever systems and technology we have in place, they can access from wherever they are. So Asana, Trello, ClickUp, all these different programs, they all have a ton of benefits in different ways, but you're right. You have to find the right one for you. If something's not intuitive to you and it doesn't make sense, or you don't like the look of it or how it flows, you're not going to use it. And then it kind of defeats purpose, right?
Yeah. I feel like I can't even tell you how many like free trials I've signed for. And then it's like, well, I'm never signing into this again, because I just cannot wrap my head around it, or it just doesn't have the functionality I need, you know?
Yeah, totally. So are you then using ClickUp for this whole workflow process and the, like, basically your operations manual then?
Yeah, that's what I'm doing.
How are you approaching this? Are you approaching it like from big picture strategy, or are you approaching it from more of the minutiae of like, okay, if I'm going to be printing a product and then, you know, like, what did you start with first, I guess is what I'm asking.
So, I mean, this is boring, but I have 8 categories, and literally, I mean, this is everything in my business. It's not necessarily to share with employees. It's just to get it out of my head. I have like a design. Basically, if you can picture like a family tree, what's another word for that, where you start at the top and it just gets bigger and bigger underneath?
Yeah, the hierarchy of it all.
Exactly. Design and like my basic design flow for a new product and literally just listing out how that works. Mm-hmm. Then I have production. So I realize that I have 2 completely different production streams when it's a new product or it's a reprinted product, because I print my own stuff. And then I also started outsourcing certain things. So what's the production look like for that? Who am I ordering from? Is there minimums? How, that kind of stuff. Then when it's produced, post-production, how is everything packaged? How is everything stored? Where is it stored? I have a studio. I also have an apartment. I have things in both places. Like, say I hire someone and they don't know where those things go, or just like weird things. Like, I will pack my onesies in stacks of 5, and like that, maybe that's micromanaging, but now I have it written down, because for me, that's easy to count when I'm shipping out a wholesale ordering. Just grab a chunk and I know it's 5.
Right.
And then I have a whole other workflow for when it's a new item, and anyone can relate to that. You got to photograph it. You got to add it to your line sheet, make a listing, make another listing, add it to your inventory. Like, how that works, marketing. And then I have a whole section on selling and shipping, and that's 2 different processes: selling and shipping to retail, retail online, retail in person, selling and shipping to wholesale. So there's just like, it took me so long to wrap my head around it, but like, there are, there's just so many facets to what we're doing. And we joke about how many hats, but there's a ton of hats.
There's a ton. And I think too, if somebody listening is ready to embark on this kind of thing, I would start with just a piece of paper in front of you and a pen and write down all the different things. Like, just do a brain dump before you even take it to a piece of tech, if that's the way you head. Like, you know, and just brain dump all the different things you do in your business and what those systems and processes look like. So then you can make it in a more organized fashion somewhere. You know, something crossed my mind as I was listening to you. You know, you do have so many ways that you're selling your products. How are you managing inventory for all this?
So that's fun and fluid. I use a program called Crafty Base.
Okay.
That someone in some Facebook group recommended. I've had it for 2 years. Before, it was, I don't know, check boxes on a piece of paper. It was, it was rough. And then before that, I just didn't care.
So, fair enough.
I mean, it was just too many other things happening. So I have it digitally. Etsy and Shopify both connect to it. So when I make sales, it automatically deducts from that.
Nice.
In-person stuff, I use Square Readers for shows. That's on my to-do list during this downtime, is to import all my stuff there so that maybe I can have that inventory connected. I just literally write things down in a book, come home and reconcile it. So, you know, all different ways.
Well, I think it's good that you bring this up, because I think simple is the key here and figuring out what works best for you. We just finished up the Paper Camp e-course this week, and one of the questions people asked is, you know, what inventory management system are most people using? And I chuckled, not laughing at them, but just like, I wish there was one system that worked for everybody, but there's not. I mean, we have people in our alumni community that are using, you know, Google spreadsheets or Excel spreadsheets. We have people using Crafty Base. We have people using, you know, Stitch Labs that were on it years ago before the prices increased. We have people using Zoho One and building out these robust systems, but like, none of those are really a one size fits all approach. You know, it really depends on what your individual needs are in the business.
Yeah. And for me, like, I'm still at this weird size where it's just me. I'm growing. Maybe I can bring someone on. I can't, like, I know, I think QuickBooks does inventory as well.
They do. And
like,
yes, they do.
It just doesn't make sense for me to pay that price tag where I'm still at this weird limbo level of business. Like, I think maybe one day I'll get there. Maybe I will have to grow and just have things be that way, but I really try to pay attention to all the subscriptions that I have, and I still consider myself in bootstrap phase, and Crafty Base is affordable, and you know what, it's not the best, but
I can afford it. Well, and if it's working for you, why switch? You know, yeah. Like it's working. I know I was just going through our P&Ls for the last month and looking at all the different tech that we're using and looking for redundancies or how we can make things more efficient too. And I think that's an important thing for all of us to be doing. But I do want to give you major kudos because, you know, you say that you're kind of still in this solo, like, smallish shop phase, but you are thinking much bigger than that. The fact that you're creating this operations manual and working on your workflows and thinking about how you can build this strong foundation so that as you continue to grow and as you can start to bring people onto your team, that's very forward thinking. That's very growth mindset of you. And so I do want to give you major kudos for that because I think it's easy for us to just say, oh, I'm good. You know, it's just me and I'm going to keep plugging along the way I plug along, but you're thinking ahead and you're trying to make it so that it is easier for you to expand in different ways. So kudos.
Thank you. It's only taken me 12 to 13 years to get here. If anyone's listening and they're like, what? Don't worry. It takes a while.
It does take a while. And you know, my mantra too is slow, steady growth is how strong businesses are built. There are not overnight successes. We all know this, even if it looks like it on social media. So
yeah.
All right. Well, what do you wish you had known when you were starting your business?
So I knew this question was coming. I actually talked to my husband about it before. Well, number one, know your numbers. He told me that so early on. And I was like, ha ha ha, I know my numbers. And when it became real, when I quit my job and it just became real, I realized I didn't know my numbers because it really didn't matter. I had a job and that was supporting me. And it was the side hustle. It was for fun, for extra money. I really had to take a hard look at that. And now I have like a spreadsheet. I'm looking back every year to see what prices have increased. Maybe I need to shop around for a different color envelope, different provider, that kind of thing. So I wish I knew, wish I like took that more seriously. The other random thing is be frugal, but like not cheap. Like,
Tell me more.
I don't know. I just was raised by a mom who is like a coupon queen and I'm always looking for the best deal. And I think that's can be really good, but it can be kind of detrimental. I think about some of the products that I've made in the past or display things I've gotten for live events or just things that like, oh, I could make this work. And then I look back and I'm like, what was I doing? Like, why did I try to build that card rack that collapsed and got moldy in the garage and now I just wasted $150. I should have just paid like another $50 and gotten the plastic card rack that's now lasted 4 years. Like I used to, you talked about buying, I'm a listener. I've heard you talk about buying envelopes at paper stores.
Yeah. Like, oh my gosh. So embarrassing.
I used to buy like t-shirts with 40% coupons at Michael's and like the bargain bin and like, why didn't I just sign up for a wholesale account, which was what I have now? It's cheaper and everything's way better. The QC is way better. Like,
yeah.
Just weird things that, I mean, you don't know what you don't know, but
right.
I can see looking back how the coupon queen has influenced my buying habits. And I wish that, I don't know. I wish I made better choices in that way. Maybe I would have had a more professional look earlier on, but again, you don't know what you don't know.
Right. I think that's great advice, though. I think we want to be cognizant of where we're spending our money and the choices we're making around that. But at the same time, we need to decide what's going to be the best investment for the long haul, right? And your display example is a great one of you spent all this time and money building it, but yet you could have spent a little bit more money.
It lasted less time. One season. Yeah. It lasted one season. Oh, that and a print dryer. I mean, I've been a screen printer since 2007 and I've been printing on fabric for, I don't know, 5 to 8 years. And I literally just got a dryer 2 years ago. I used to iron everything by hand. What was I thinking? Why?
Wow.
I just didn't want to put out the money. Like, it's just crazy. I don't know.
Well, again, it's a growth process, right? It's a figuring it out as we go process.
Exactly.
So what is next for you and Exit 3343 Design?
I'm just doing a lot of back-end stuff right now. I would be getting ready for retail shows, but most of them have been canceled or postponed due to pandemic things. So yeah, I'm just working on new work. And, you know, I'm really hoping that I can actually do a wholesale show in hopefully early 2021. I was thinking about it for this year, and just scheduling and finances didn't align. And then now all this. So
yeah.
That's a long-term goal. I went to your trade show boot camp in 2013.
Right? So. Yeah, I remember.
It's been a long time. I've walked the trade show many times, but I have not participated in one yet. So,
well, it's possible to have, as you know, it's possible to have a successful wholesale line without doing shows. So don't beat yourself
up. Oh, and my catalog. That is like another thing that's been on my list. As you can tell, it takes me a while to get the things. But, I'm hoping to have that done as well this year. So
nice.
Yeah, baby steps, but I'm getting there. This is an exciting year, I think.
That's great. Well, where can people find you online if they want to check out your products or follow you on social media?
So I am Exit343Design on the internet, exit343design.com. That's also my Etsy shop, although you should just shop my regular website. I have more stuff on that. I am just regular Exit343 on Instagram. I'm on Pinterest, Exit343Design. And then we had talked about this blog. You know, I have some tips for makers on my blog. I'm working on a post about workflow for product-based businesses, so you can check that out. But yeah. Those are the places
awesome.
I'm at.
We will include all of those links, as well as the link to your blog post about your workflows, in our show notes there for anyone listening that wants to check it out. And Stephanie, I just really appreciate your time today. Thank you so much for joining
me. Oh my gosh. Thank you. It was great.
All right, friends. Like Stephanie said, I believe that slow, steady growth is how strong businesses are built. If you are interested in growing with us and learning more about building processes and systems into your business, particularly things like we talked about today, operations manuals, production workflows, and other back-end systems, I encourage you to join me in my new group coaching program called Proof to Product Labs. For information and to join us, head over to prooftoproduct.com/labs. Thanks so much for spending time with us today. Head on over to prooftoproduct.com to join the conversation, access our show notes, and discover free resources to help you build your product-based business. We'll be back next week with a new episode. Thanks again.